Recovery Radio, KMP3000. Anonymous, and I will be your host. I am so happy that you are with me, that you are listening, wherever you are. Welcome from iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Alexa, and the like. Glad you're here with me. The support really means a lot. Feels good, and I'm glad that it is helping someone. Your emails touch me, so thank you. Today is a special day, and I will tell you why. Do you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Today is special because I've decided that it is. And therefore it is. I learned this on Halloween of 1989. My first sober holiday. I had a pretty incredible experience that I want to share with you. But I'm going to record that story on Halloween. That seems fitting to me, so I'll wait. But I started to learn on that day back then that I'm the architect of my experience to a very large degree, and it's very empowering, and it removes the whole victim mentality, and it's pretty awesome. So, nonetheless, I decided today was going to be special, and it has felt special to me, I'll tell you that. Well, before I start with our topic today, I have to say that I am so grateful that I have no desire to drink or use drugs right now. I have to lead with that. I still can't believe it. I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and that's it. I remember when I started to learn that, I was going to take a chip, I think, for 90 days, and I think it was going to be like on a Friday, and here I was the Tuesday before, and I'm talking to my sponsor, and I said, I'm gonna have 90 days on Friday, and he got so mad at me. What the fuck are you talking about? You haven't learned a goddamn thing. You haven't heard anything I've ever told you. How the hell do you know you're gonna be sober on Friday? We've got one day, and that's today. Man, he was such a dick. He saved my life. Well, God put him in my life. That's for sure. But anyways, so I'm grateful that I'm sober right now. If you're sober right now, that's incredible. We're all tied for the world record, which is 24 hours. So today I wanted to talk about the fellowship that you crave. Do you have it? In a vision for you in the book Alcoholics Anonymous, it says that God will show you how to create the fellowship that you crave. And I love that. And I love that they use the word crave. And what does that look like to you? Do you ever think about that? I think about it. I have it now. I didn't always have it. I had to define what that was for me. And that took some time. They used to always say, stick with the winners. They don't say that anymore so much, but they used to always say that to me. Stick with the winners. And, you know, I was sober for, 5 minutes. And if someone was sober for 6 minutes, that was a winner. And that was kind of at the end of it. And I just kind of hung out with anyone and everyone. And eventually I just dug in and was just there. At parties and, sober parties and AA meetings and conventions and events and picnics. And it took me a while to sort of define what it is that I craved in my own personal fellowship. And there are a couple of aspects of this for me. And one of them is this. So I started to notice that, I would walk away from certain people and I would feel a certain way. Like, if I was hanging out with people who were bad-mouthing other people, shit-talking, gossiping, putting people down who were not there to defend themselves, I started to notice that when I would leave interactions like that, I did not feel good. And just as stark was how incredible I would feel when I would leave interactions where that did not happen. When I would hang out with someone or people, group of people, and no one complained about anything or anyone. And I couldn't put my finger on it for a long time, but eventually I started to piece this together. Wow, when you're hanging out with people who aren't complaining about things and people, you feel good when you get home. Feel good on the way home. You feel elevated and inspired and strengthened. Wow, that's interesting. But I had to think about all this and put it together slowly over time. Because I don't know. It just took time. But I started to notice this, and I started to crave these interactions and these exchanges that made me want to try even harder at working the program and growing spiritually. And so I started to seek out people like that. I started to notice and I started to seek out people like that. Because it doesn't matter what anyone else does. If I spend the rest of my life just taking my own inventory, I will be busy for the rest of my life. There's enough there for me to worry about forever. And I personally believe that it's God's will that that's where my focus remains as best I can. So, and if you've listened to earlier shows, you've heard me talk about the batting average of such stuff. I claim nothing other than I notice that this is what I claim. I notice that in some ways I'm less selfish now than I was a year ago, 6 months ago, a month ago. It's forever unfolding. I'm chiseling away at it, but it doesn't end. And I've talked about, I had a baseball analogy before where I talked about batting average of that I have with this, some days I'm 0 for 6. Some days I'm 5 for 5. Some days I'm 2 for 3. Some days I'm, 1 for 5, but I turned an awesome play in the field, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just, it doesn't end. So I'm constantly trying to grow and constantly trying to get better. But I started to realize that, you know, the people that I hung out with, they did have an impact on my mentality and my mindset and my willingness to grow. And there's some people who just inspire me to do better. And there's some people who make me feel like not trying so hard. And the takeaway from that is I don't want to be one of those people in the latter list for anyone. I don't want to be someone who, you know, brings someone down or makes someone feel possibly worse about what they're capable of. So, but anyways, I started to piece these things together, and I know that I need to take this seriously or I will die, because I will drink again, and if I drink again, I will die. That's the kind of alcoholic I am. I'm messing around anymore. My last drunk, I drank a fifth of gin and a bottle of Long Island iced tea in 15 minutes. And it was just a matter of how much alcohol can I pour in me to stop my heart. So I got to take this seriously. So I started to crave the company of people who walked the walk when they were not in meetings. So I started to crave that. So that's what I started to crave. The other part of it is this. The other part of it is it had to be fun. I mean, I'm a thrill seeker. I always have been. I still am. You know, what that looks like has changed a lot with age. I tried to go on a carnival ride not very long ago, and oh my God. I remember, you know, when I was a teenager or my 20s or even in my 30s, I could be tossed around, you know, in a metal cage, you know, with wanton abandon. It was just fun. But now it's like, it's not that way anymore. But I want to have fun. I'm a thrill seeker. And basically what I'm saying is sobriety had to be fun. It had to be fun. I had to be able to have fun. Or I wasn't going to do it. If I wasn't having fun today, I would not still be sober. And fun did not look like something that was possible when I first came to AA. I thought fun was dead. I thought fun was a thing of the past. I thought I would never have fun again. The steps looked like a prison, and that was it. Gone is all the fun, I thought. But then I was sober for a little while, and I started to, you know, become more awake and alive. And I started to say, okay, now I really do need to have fun. This is going to have to be fun. And, you know, that's a very subjective thing. So the fellowship that I crave, in a nutshell, is this. It's people who walk this, who are seeking, who are open to being wrong, who take their own inventory. Basically, it's people who take their own inventory, and people who are having fun. Those are the kind of people that I crave. I crave the company of such people. And I have people like that in my life who fit that. They're having a good time. They're having a good time. And gosh, I guess it was about 10 years ago. I was at a meeting hall locally that was having a, it was a holiday, it was Easter, and because of the circumstances in my life, I was free all day. And so I went to a meeting there early in the morning, and I met a friend of mine, and his name was Happy Pat. And we hung out. We went to the 7 a.m., and then we hung out, and afterwards we were in the parking lot, and we were hanging out. And, do you want to go to the next meeting? There's a meeting at 10, and, you know, yeah, let's go to that. And we went to that, and then we hung out, and bottom line, we hung out the whole day and much of the evening. I think we were there from 7 in the morning till about 10 at night. And we were just hanging out. And we were talking, and we were having our own meeting in the parking lot. And these incredible things were happening from time to time. We'd be talking about someone. It happened twice. We were talking about someone specific, and then they ended up walking up kind of over a hill out of nowhere. And it was very cool. But it was just a great day. But what was so awesome about it was that we hung out all day, and neither one of us complained about anything. We just celebrated life and sobriety and people and the grace that had been bestowed upon us by God, as I understand Him. And it was awesome. It was awesome. It was, I went to bed that night feeling elevated, better about the world. People, life. And, man, that was fun. I think about it a lot. I remember, too, another, just a little footnote to that story is I came back to the meeting hall the next day, and I was late, and I walked in, and I was kind of in the back of the room, and Happy Pat was there, and he was sharing about that. He was sharing about our experience together, and he didn't know I was there, and he was saying the same thing I'm saying now. It was, made me feel very good. But I really didn't start to have the fellowship that I really craved until I was a couple years sober. Really until I was, yeah, a couple years sober. 2.5 years sober. I was introduced to a group of people that were, they were having so much fun. And they were sober for a long time. And they were glowing. I mean, there was this group of people that were glowing. And they were fucking with each other and playing practical jokes on each other. And I remember I showed up to a meeting one night, and there was this guy, his name was Don. He looked like he was just drunk. He was sober for decades, but he was just dying laughing. His face was beet red. And he walked up to me with this piece of paper, and it was a fake parking ticket that they were putting on the windshield of someone at the meeting, and they just thought this was the greatest thing. And I used to watch this group of people, and I learned a lot from them. And I thought, this is the fellowship that I really crave. People are having fun. And and I've learned that if I take the step work seriously and the application of these principles seriously, and I apply them in my daily life, more and more selfishness gets removed, and I'm able to have more and more fun. And I'm able to be more present, and I'm able to contribute. I'm able to give more and more. Add more and more. See what I could add to someone's experience. I remember the first time I had to go be around drinking when I got sober. I was going to a wedding, and oh, God, it scared the shit out of me. I had a lot of anxiety about it. I was afraid to be around it. I was afraid of how I would react and how I would feel. And there's a Cat Stevens song called The Boy with the Moon and Star in His Head, and he describes a wedding in the song, and he says, and he mentions cider. He mentions wine too, but he mentions cider, and I don't know why, but I hung on to that, like, okay, I'll have cider. It'll be fine. I'm going with someone else who's in AA, and it will be fine. And it was. It was great. No thought of drinking. And it was great. But what happened over time is that, you know, as I got more and more healthy in my sobriety, and I was more and more able to go places in a giving state of mind, something kind of incredible started to happen and became a recurring theme. It still is to this day, where, you know, generally speaking now, my experiences when I'm around drinking are, they look like this. So I'll be somewhere where there's drinking and I'll be having fun. And I'll be with someone and maybe I'll be interacting with someone who's drinking, and invariably at some point in the evening, you know, they will say to me, "Let me get you another one." And I will say to them, "You know, that's okay. I'm actually not drinking." And that's freaked out a lot of people because of the amount of fun I was having. I mean, I remember many times where after that conversation has ensued, the person who said that to me would just sort of look at me for the rest of the night, like, kind of in wonderment. "Wait, you're not drinking?" Anyways, the point is that, you know, if I take this stuff seriously, if I'm really trying to live this stuff, not only am I able to have fun, but I'm able to have fun wherever it's appropriate for me to be. Weddings, dances, even plain ordinary whoopee parties, like the book says. But, you know, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is that, you know, I do have a lot of fun now. And I don't know how much at this point in these podcasts you would know that, because this is very serious. You know, this is the one thing in my life that I take very seriously. But if you know me at all, you know, this is the longest I've ever, you know, if you listen to me for a half hour talk about something serious, you know, the people who are really in my life, they're not that familiar with me talking really seriously about something for a half hour, because normally I'm joking around. I'm having fun. There's a lot of levity in my life. A lot. A lot. I have a sick, deranged sense of humor, and I'm surrounded with people who have sick, deranged sense of humor, and we have a good time. We have a good time. And we make jokes that don't hurt anyone. And that's fun. But we make jokes a lot. We're ridiculous. We're ridiculous. It's great. And that's part of the fellowship that I crave. Is that. And so I just wanted to talk about that today, you know? I wonder how often other people think about that. You know, what is the fellowship that I personally crave? Because God will show you how to create it. I have learned that. I believe that. It's happened to me. I love the people who I consider to be in my own fellowship. They're funny. And they're kind of sick. In a great way. And they take the 12 steps very seriously. and they don't talk shit about people. And they don't pretend they're perfect. And they're transparent about their struggles. And they look for the answer within. And, you know, again, none of us are batting a thousand with any of this stuff, but I hang out with people who inspire me, make me want to do better. And, I wanted to share that because that has made a big difference in my life and in my sobriety. The people with whom I associate, they have a big impact on me. And, so I just wanted to put that on your radar. If it's not already there, it's probably already there, but maybe it's not. So there it is. And, I don't know. I guess that's it for the day, no? I think it will be. I'm done with my tea. And I'll be back. And I have some great guests lined up. And they are people who are in my fellowship. And I think you're going to like them. Maybe not. Maybe you'll hate them. I don't know. But I love them. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. And I hope you do the same. Good night.